Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does a church of 12 people in Hermosa Beach, planted by Ralph and Ruby Moore in 1971, eventually grow to more than 2,400 churches planted across America and around the world on every continent? Persistence and long-standing vision. It may be described as a cluster of churches built on the understanding that the Great Commission includes both disciple-making and church planting. Perhaps you today have been touched in some way by the ministry of Pastors Ralph and Ruby Moore. I know I have.
And I have.
And it is indeed the touching of God through ministries like these that spread the gospel of Jesus Christ and make the person of Christ and the relationship with God through Jesus a reality in our lives. And that's why today we remind you at the beginning of our program, the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to bring you, dear one, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. You might be a Christ follower and maybe growing in the Lord, or perhaps you are on the fringe, or maybe you feel like you're out of it. You're not even going to church anymore. But you're wondering, does God still know me? Does he love me? I believe Pastors Ralph and Ruby would say, well, of course, yes, and there's always hope. And maybe today you don't even know the Lord. You hear about him, you're interested, perhaps you're intrigued. Well, today, it's our hope and our prayer that you would come to know the Lord Jesus, Jesus who loves you so much, my friend. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. The living Christ today calls you to himself. Jesus is calling you. Would you open your heart to him? Pastors Ralph and Ruby Moore are the lead pastors at Hope Chapel Honolulu. They served as youth pastors for 7 years before planting that first Hope Chapel in Hermosa Beach. Their two children, Carl and Kelly, both serve the Lord, Carl and his wife Kanani, pastor Anchor Church, formerly Hope Chapel Kaneohe, and Kelly and her husband Travis conduct ministry in India from California. Pastors Ralph and Ruby, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
In this season of life and ministry, what are you most passionate about?
Why don't you start?
What am I most passionate about? I'm just passionate to do the Lord's will, to go wherever he calls us. I don't believe I've seen retirement stated in the Bible unless the Lord kind of takes you home. But no, we're just passionate to do God's will, to obey him, to go wherever he calls us. And it's going to be interesting in the very near future.
Well, you certainly followed him and obeyed him in 1971, and look what happened.
Yes.
And I think it's still going on. Things are still on the move.
Yeah, we're surprised, actually. The last time I was here, I told you I think that we had planted 1,400 churches. We're really a network. We're not a hierarchy. So I'm not the Pope. I'm not the president. And we don't keep records. So we don't have any devices for that. And so I got hooked up with a group called Exponential, and they're involved real heavily in church planting and church multiplication. So one guy asked me some hard questions about, how many churches you started, and I told him, but it was a guess. And so then he bought into it. But I started waking up at 5 in the morning going, oh, I must have lied. I'm exaggerating. What if there's only 1,000 churches, you know? And it's not like, you know, I help maybe 80 guys plant a church. And then they help somebody, and they help somebody. And it's grown exponentially, actually. So I did the best I could of a survey. I just emailed everybody I knew and asked them how many churches they started and give me a rundown, kind of a tree. And I put this thing together. And it came out to like 2,317 churches. And then I've been hearing from others. It's over 2,400 churches mm-hmm. now since 1971. And, you know, mostly they're churches about 140 to 200 people. Some of them, you know, that national average is about 75. Some of them are huge. Few have closed. Very few have closed. But, you know, it's all just been personal disciple making, but with an attitude that I'm looking at somebody who we first meet who's not a Christian. I want to disciple them into Christ, and I want to take them as far as they want to go in leadership. And a lot of people, it just means they're going to do something at work. Others, they're going to start a home group. Others still are going to plant a church, and so we just want to kind of hold their hand all the way, and that's what's happened, and it's been productive.
You have a blog, ralphmoore.net.
Right.
You stay in touch with many people and certainly encourage people in need, especially pastors, church planters. Pastor Ralph, what is a pocket church?
You better read my blog. And I want to say it again, ralphmoore.net, because I know there's a lot of people listening who have come out of our ministry. Almost twice a week now, I meet somebody who says, oh, I used to go to Hope Chapel when you're at Ben Parker School, or I was at Hope Chapel when you're on the beach under a tree, and now I go to this other church, or what? It's even happening in other states. And so if people want to stay in contact, ralphmoore.net will be the way, because I'm moving away from the island in January. But a pocket church to me it's the thing I'm most passionate about right now. It's not something we've done a lot of. We've done a few, and I know some people overseas who've done quite a bit. And I think the model we used in Hawaii is broken. We were starting churches in public schools, and then it broke for two reasons. One, the everybody else started planting churches, which is wonderful. And Hawaii is the only state in America where Christianity has grown for the last 2.5 decades, and it's grown faster than the population. We have hard data to prove that. So that's really good. But when I first came here, they wouldn't let you start a church in a school. They changed the law. Now there's some church schools have 3 churches. But then there was a lawsuit against one church, and the church lost. It was an unfortunate thing, and I think it was an unjust thing, but they lost. And it caused principals to shy away from renting schools out. So now we're kind of stuck. And you know, the way this island is and the economy and real estate, it's very hard to find a place that can hold people and park cars. Those are the big issues. So we're thinking that we need to start churches in houses. We're looking at the 3 major costs of a church are seminary degree, a pastor's salary, and real estate. And if you start a church in a home, then we can reach pockets of people that we're not touching. Because the other problem with church is it's largely middle class. Middle class white and middle class black are big churches in America. But everybody else is kind of left to the side. So recent immigrants, urban poor, homeless people. We have a church right now that follows people around on the sidewalk. If the police do a sweep and the people all move to a new place, then our guys go with them. I know a guy who used to be a president of a bank. If I could get my hands on him and get him to start a church in his neighborhood, he could reach people who will never come to my church. He comes to my church occasionally, but his neighbors won't come. He could reach them in his house. And so we're thinking about kind of what Rick Warren did. Rick Warren did go to seminary, but he started in a 2-bedroom apartment, and it grew to 17,000 people. So if we start a church that grows to 30, and they start a church of 30, and they start a church of 30, we did something. If they grow to 17,000, well, that's good too. But that's not really what we're after. We're after reaching into pockets of civilization that the gospel isn't touching. And we think that, you know, 95% of the people who enter a seminary won't be in paid ministry 2 years after their class graduates. So we're thinking that guys that maybe dropped out of the ministry because their church couldn't afford to fund them and now they're making a good living could go back at it if we could kind of get this idea across.
I love this explanation. Suzanne, you know, when Pastor Ralph goes to get a blood test and the phlebotomist gets the, you know, the syringe and pierces into his skin, he bleeds, a church planting comes out inside the the vial.
That's exactly right.
That's one of the
praise
things.
Praise the Lord, may I say.
Well, we'll talk about monomaniacs in a little while, but that kind of focus is part of what is inspiring. I think it's just you ooze church planting. Dear one, as you listen today, this is a rare privilege to have Pastors Ralph and Ruby Moore in studio with us. You've already got a glimpse of what he does and what he lives and how he thinks. But there's more. Because God is using this precious couple and have been for decades to fulfill the Great Commission. Part of it is the simplicity by which they speak, but the profundity, the profoundness of what's taking place. And here's the thing. It will continue to go on and grow exponentially as more churches are planted, as more disciples are made. And you know, it is our heart and our prayer that you, if you're not already a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can be. You can be. You can be today. The Lord sends them here to encourage you, to inspire you, to speak heart to heart, as we typically do here at The Good Life. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is calling you. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Pastor Ralph Moore has written more than 10 books, including Let Go of the Ring, the Hope Chapel story of how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Don't you like the phrase when you hear it? Hey, let's put the cookies on the lower shelf. I like cookies, but if I can't reach them, I can't enjoy them. But Pastor Ralph has a way of making some complicated things, make it very simple, easy for us, not only to understand, but to apply in our lives. And that becomes transforming. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, Pastors Ralph and Ruby Moore in studio with us today. If you'd like to find out more about Pastor Ralph, ralphmoore.net. Remember that now, ralphmoore.net. And perhaps you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment. You can get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. After launching the first church, that church plant from your newly planted congregation, I'm talking about planting the first church out of Hermosa Beach, what imagery did Pastor Jack Hayford use to prophesy what your ministry would become?
Actually, this goes way, way back. This was probably in 1973. We started almost by accident, the first church. We had a bunch of people who came Sunday mornings, but we had Sunday night church, and they couldn't come back because they had little kids to put to bed. And so we sent a guy down to hold Sunday night service, and next thing you knew, they wanted to become their own church. It didn't fit the denomination. The guy hadn't gone to seminary. All of the stuff denominations put you through, he didn't fit. And so I told him no. And then a couple months later, the Navigators recruited him to go to New Zealand as a missionary. And I started to put two and two together. And in the denomination, if you weren't a successful pastor for 2 years, you couldn't be a missionary. But the Navigators recognized that he was doing 5 Bible studies a week, plus marriage, plus running his business, and they thought he was capable. So we said, well, let's go ahead and just start the church. And I went to the denomination's convention. Nobody had started a church in at least 15 years in that denomination. And they had, what they'd done is the big mistake. They relegated church planting to denominational officials, which never works. I know a denomination right now that's giving tons of money to the denominational guys, their district guys, who never planted a church in their life, and they don't know what to do with the money. So anyhow, the local churches got mad at us. They said that we were rebelling. I went to the convention, but the old people in the denomination remembered when the denomination used to plant churches, and they celebrated us. So I'm like 27 years old, and I'm standing in front of 3,000 people telling them my story, scared to death. And it still didn't change the people's attitude toward us, but Jack Hayford pulled me aside and grabbed my wife and prophesied, and I almost remember it word for word. He said, God likens your ministry to that of a tall coconut tree that drops off coconuts that float to other places and make coconut trees that drop off coconuts as well. I had never been to Hawaii. I'd never seen a coconut tree, but that thing stuck in my life. And if you go to ralphmoore.net, that's the motif that I use, because it's really what's happened. We've dropped off coconuts, and they've come into trees that have dropped off more coconuts, and you know, it's just spread around the world. And it really truly is out of our control. Most of the pastors, I was in Kahuku the other day, and our pastor in Kahuku passed away about a year and a half ago. And we used to be part of a denomination, and some of those churches still are. So I don't want to compete with those people. So I've kind of stepped back and let them manage things and stuff. So I see a sign for, you know, Hope Chapel Kahuku, and or not Kahuku, I'm sorry, Kahalu, Hope Chapel Kahalu. And I see a name of a guy I don't recognize. And that thrilled me, that I don't even know the name of this pastor. And that's actually a direct church plant from the one I was pastoring in Kaneohe. but because of the denominational thing, I don't know him. But I figure about 2-3 generations out, in some places we know we go 9 generations deep, where I helped a guy who helped a guy who helped a guy, and I have a photograph of this. But I figure about 3 generations out, when I die, most people won't even know about it. And I think that's something I'm proud of, that this thing's taken on a life of its own.
Why is Hope Chapel more of an idea rather than a movement?
Because we've kept it that way. We intended for it never to be. We never, you know, I was criticized recently for not protecting the brand. Most of our churches never use the name Hope Chapel, and we never really cared. In New England, if people go to Harvest Chapel, then they need to know that that's a Hope Chapel. It in the Philippines, it has a whole nother name. In Japan, only one of or two of our churches use the name Hope Chapel. And, you know, we changed the name of the group we were with to fit our community, and we think that's a fine thing to do. Inspire Church used to be Hope Chapel West Oahu. Mike Kai is like a son to me, and I've got stories like this from literally on every continent. And so, you know, I one of the things I want to do, I'm writing a book right now about pocket churches, and it'll come out for free on exponential.org. Exponential.org has over 2,000 free resources for pastors and leaders, including some seminary courses where you can take the course for free, and then if you want a degree, you pay the seminary, but otherwise it's all free. But one of the books I want to write is about that you need to remain a network. Don't try to become some kind of a hierarchy or a movement, because it slows you down. If I was having to deal with insurance issues and property issues, I would stop making disciples and we'd stop planting churches. And so we just avoided that. And turns out we're the only group in America now. There were two other really strong church planting movements in the 70s, and both have quit. In fact, the leader from one came to me. We spent a day together. He goes, how do I jumpstart this? The other has on their website, bring your church into our group. That's not planting a church. So we think that when they centralized authority, then they lost the vision and the drive to do what they were doing best.
Ruby, what has been most rewarding through the years?
It's seeing people come and realize that they're able and they're capable of doing what Jesus called them to do. At the very end, the most important words Jesus ever gave was, go and make disciples, teaching them whatsoever I've taught you. And it's that simple. And then Paul modeled it by going into various cities and just, you know, be there for a few weeks and say, okay, Jack, you know, you're the oldest disciple, you take over and I'm going on. And it's like, well, how hard can that be? If you have God with you and he's directing you and the Holy Spirit's directing you, that's what's rewarding for me, is seeing people freed from the bonds, the constraints, the legalities of saying you must go to seminary, you must do these things, jump through these hoops. But if God has already put the seed in people's lives, I've watched over and over again as Ralph's gone around the world, and I just get absolutely tickled, because all he did was just believe in him, reinforce the calling they already had in their lives, encourage them. And then next thing you know, they're out there planting one church and two churches and more. So yeah, those are the things that I get back, and I'm just so proud of where the Lord is taking us. It's so simple, and it's like, why did you guys make it so hard? So that's my passion. Just keep it simple, stupid. You know, just do what Jesus said, do what Paul did, and just go. Sorry, I got passionate.
What was the title of your sermon Sunday?
With God, all things are possible.
Exactly. Mm. And that's exactly what Ruby's sharing with us, and calling it simple.
How about you, Pastor? Reward, most rewarding, collectively over the years.
I think the most rewarding is that people do things that they didn't think they could do. And some of the people that, we've worked with are, it came to us pretty rough. There's a guy that everybody in Hawaii knows named Sumo, who's struggling against cancer right now in California. He's launched one way or another over 200 pocket churches in and around Huntington Beach, California. And he just was inducted into the Surfers Hall of Fame. And when I knew him, he was wild and woolly, and we had problems. I had a time when Sumo and another guy named Guy Capelliella, who pastors in West Oahu, they both had been bad boys in high school, and both of them were like the village thug, one from Kaneohe, one from Kailua. And both guys were on my staff, and both of them privately, not knowing the other had said it, told me, you know, Guy comes and says, "Only guys are afraid of high school Sumo." And Sumo told me the same thing about Guy. And for a little while, we actually had a staff policy that that if you punch somebody out, you're fired. And so to see those kind of guys, and that's just two of them. There were more. But to see those kind of guys as successful pastors who are filled with the love of Jesus is probably the most rewarding thing. But again, there's this other thing where I meet people who've been touched by somebody I don't even know, because I touched somebody I did know who touched somebody who touched somebody who touched somebody, and now this person got born again because of it, and they're following Jesus, and that's a thrill.
As you listen to Pastor Ruby and Pastor Ralph, you might be thinking, well, that kind of sounds like what I read when I read the Gospels. Yeah. You know, the life of Christ, the legacy of Jesus is just a continual process of one person reaching another, a disciple making a disciple. If you're a Christ follower today, someone reached you, and you could trace the roots all the way back. But as we pause a moment for our break, I think about the Sumos and the Guy Capelliellas, the rough guys, the guys that have it in them. They have different instincts. They maybe think a little different. They react a little different. I think about problems in church life, problems, the messiness of life. Sometimes we like things to be very pristine, but it's not always that way. And that's what I love about Pastors Ralph and Ruby Moore. They're not afraid to get their hands dirty. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe, Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com, Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Of Ralph Moore's book, Starting a New Church, The Church Planter's Guide to Success, Rick Warren writes, Wisdom in Print. This book works. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, Pastors Ralph and Ruby Moore. You can find out more about them, their church, the next steps that they will be taking at ralphmoore.net. Ralphmoore.net. What has been most challenging through the years?
Oh, the challenges that you face are usually external. They've been the challenge of the big problem in church planting is real estate. Just finding a place to meet. We're right now Hope Chapel Honolulu. We meet in a movie theater, in a mall. If we lost the theater, we don't know where we would go because the size of our congregation, the number of cars we have to park. The theater's great because it's air conditioned. In Hawaii, real estate is really an issue. When I look at church planting in America, I see all these mega churches, but almost all of them are in a place called the exurbs, which means this is where the suburbs meet the cows. And, you know, if you want to plant a church and you need 20 acres of ground because you're going to do that whole trip, that's where you buy the land, which leaves the real suburbs and the people in the suburbs tend to go to those churches, but the urban people don't, and the people in the little tiny rural towns don't. And so that's become an issue. The other stuff to me is, I really don't fully understand this, so I'm highly critical of it, but I don't understand it. It's this need to program everything, the need to kind of institutionalize things. Even guys that are really hungry to plant churches are really wary about things like, you know, if you didn't go to seminary or you don't have a curriculum. I go to some church planter events, and I'm surprised at maybe 50 or 60 booths that I'll see there of guys, you know, here's the 7-week program that will teach you how to plant a church. And when I talk to the guys, because I go and talk to them, and I find out that at best they planted one church or two churches. And it's like, it's so simple. And you guys are making it so complicated. And that frustrates me a lot.
Why do we have a tendency to do that? What is it?
I think that it actually probably goes back to the Enlightenment, that we believe in science and philosophy. It's modernism. You know, we're supposed to live in a postmodern era, but it's modernism that we've learned, man's made learn to make things better. I view what I call the Luke Acts continuum. I write about this quite a bit in my books, but to me, the Holy Spirit inspired Luke to write, and I always pick Luke, the whole Gospels, all four, but I always pick Luke because he wrote both Luke and Acts. But if the Holy Spirit inspired him to, there's a reason why the Apostle Paul is in 21 chapters in Acts and Peter, James, and John show up so seldom. And thus Paul made disciples and he planted churches. And so I look at this and I see the New Testament as a prototype. Other people, I think, and I've had a lot of conversations, so I'm pretty sure I know, they view the New Testament as primitive. So if the New Testament church is primitive, anything I do, I've licensed to change anything because I'm a modern person and I have all this stuff, I can make it better. And I'm not against technology. I think we should use technology, but what we must do is go back to Acts chapter 2, apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking bread, prayer, praising God, being generous, and discipling people outside the church into Jesus, which is where evangelism took place in the New Testament. If it's against the law to be a Christian and they'll kill you for it, it's got to be discipleship. You can't advertise. So I think that that our view of the New Testament colors everything we do. I go to other countries, and I think poverty is a great friend because they can't afford to do the American hip cool things. And so they just do the stuff that's in the Bible. And when I go there and teach, I raise money because I go to a lot of what used to be called third world countries, developing nations. And my criteria is, and by the way, on ralphmoore.net, there's a thing called Mission Hope International. I tell about my travels. But my thing is I raise money and I go to groups where A, they've begun to plant churches and just begun. They're brand new at it. And B, they can't afford for me to come. So I go for free and I raise the money to travel so they don't have to pay anything. But these people are wide open, and the astounding things are happening in Mongolia because of this. Nepal, Christianity is growing faster in Nepal today than anywhere on the planet. Mm-hmm. And they're under persecution from the Hindus primarily, but also from the Buddhists. We think of both of those religions as passive mm-hmm. and peace-loving, but the nasty things do happen.
Challenging. Other challenges. How about, Pastor Ruby, what about your perspective on the challenges collectively through the years?
People. No, just organized religion that kind of puts you down for just going out and loving people and try to enforce rules and structure. It's not bad to have some structure, but when the structure gets in the way of ministry, we want to just go out and love people, encourage them, and reach them. So sometimes the challenge is, yes, comes with the organization. But organizations can help you. But if they're holding you back from going out, that's been some of what I see as a challenge. And when Ralph used to go to a lot of denomination meetings from Hawaii, I'd always say, Ralph, you have to go. You need to stand up for the little guys who don't have a voice. They don't have the Bible college degree. And we're trying to plant churches with whom God is raising up, and they are not being accepted. So go over there and fight the battle. Change their licenses from a black and white cardboard card to the colored plastic card that we all have. Just things like that where you felt the frustration, but we've always known where we're supposed to be, and it's just ignoring the people. I just want to insert one little story. I met a technician yesterday who came to my house to do some work, and as he was leaving, I usually wait for the Lord to tell me, so I said, okay, God bless you, and he turned around and said, God bless you back, and I said, oh, wait a minute, are you a Christian? And he goes, yeah. And I said, so where do you fellowship? He says, well, you know, I've been to Hope Chapel and I've been to New Hope, you know, but I'm kind of on my own now. And I see this happening with a lot of 30, 40-year-olds. They're kind of like, they're tired of seeing that the politics, the hierarchical, I can't even say it right, type of things going on. So it's a challenge to him. And I thought, wow, if we had a little pocket church, a little house church, I bet he and his girlfriend would come, because we'll just show them love and bring them back to the Word and worshiping God. So I hope I answered your question.
You mentioned pocket church. Explain a little bit about ethne and how you tied in the word pocket with...
The word ethne in its Greek definition can speak of nationality, so we get ethnic from it. But it actually means a group of people who think differently. That's all. So, like, I got a friend right now who did a little time in jail, was with a biker gang long time ago. And actually, he's one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. I can name 10 or 11 people that are a lot smarter than me, and I think I'm pretty smart. So this guy is working with people who are fresh out of prison. And the deal he was talking about last week is a guy who's trying to get his guns back. which is a very hard thing to do in Hawaii, and how this is a characteristic of guys who've done time in jail, that that's an issue with them. That's an ethne, that group, people who've come out of jail because it's hard for them to get jobs. They have unique needs. A lot of them have some kind of conversion experience in jail, and then a lot of them revert to crime. If we could start a church for them, which he has done, he started two pocket churches, and one has a bunch of people like this and a medical doctor attending, which is an interesting thing. We're moving to San Diego in January. We're after 34 years in Hawaii. Part of it is I'm going to be involved with exponential.org a lot more, and it'll make it easier to travel from there. So, but when I move, I'm planning to start a pocket church, and I really want to reach into the gay community in San Diego. And I know that'll probably offend a bunch of Christians, but one of the reasons that we're not evangelizing gays is we've offended a bunch of gays. And, you know, there's things that they believe that I don't believe, and that's going to be a problem. But I have a contact, I have a friend, and it looks like something good's going to happen. That's an ethne. And so, you know, as much as Vietnamese living in Hawaii, or one of my friends talked to someone from Afghanistan that lives in Hawaii, and he's in contact with the Muslim population. That's another ethne, not because of race, but because of the way that they think.
Pastor Ralph and Ruby Moore, taking the next step. You've talked to me about reaching the gay community, just in some of the past conversations that we've had. So it's something the Lord has placed on your heart for quite some time. When a heart is open, God can do many things. And yet it can be quite overwhelming when you think of so much that is needed to be done. And that's why there's a value of being focused, because that focus can distill all the collective energy and all the possibilities to something more narrow. But when it is distilled into a certain level of narrowness, when we come back, we'll talk about being a monomaniac. But when it's distilled that way, there's a certain kind of concentration and power or potency in a converging moment, that when that is released, it has a kind of distilled power that can reach the broad masses that you were actually hoping to reach at the beginning anyway. Monomaniac. You say, Danny, what is that? Well, Pastor Ralph will explain what that is when we come back. It'll relate to us. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, okay, I have to ask this question because somebody might be pressing back and saying, hey, Danny, represent, man, represent. You know, you went to seminary. What about all the other seminary grads that are in the ministry? What about heresies? I mean, you know, if you don't get trained, if you're not formally trained, you don't have that credential. How do you protect? How do you protect from false teachings happening in the body of Christ? You know, especially with things growing the way they are. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm just scratching on something here, but I'll let Pastor Ralph Moore explain that. The Good Life Radio Show. Suzanne Maurer, Danny Yamashiro, Pastor Ralph and Ruby Moore with us today. Find out more about Pastor Ralph at ralphmoore.net. He's connected to exponential.org. And exponential growth is taking place. So, Pastor Ralph, what about it? I mean, you know, that's one of the arguments as to why seminary is a necessity in the minds of some people.
Yeah. You know, one of the problems when we start talking about pocket churches and doing all this, and especially lay pastors, is this concern that we call the fuzzy copy theory. That if I take a copy of something, make a Xerox copy, then I copy that copy, and then I copy that copy, pretty soon I have a fuzzy document. And so that's what everybody brings up. And we need seminary to straighten people out. And two or three things that stand against that. Once is that we have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And, you know, if you go to other countries, like I've spent time, a lot of time in Mongolia, where in 1989, the Soviets said there were 5 Christians. Now almost 5% of the country are Christians, and they have no seminaries. And so purely out of reading the Word, and when you meet these guys, they're straight on. Their doctrine is not a failure. The other thing is the fact that we have all these seminaries. One of the most prized evangelical seminaries in the country has just come out in favor of same-sex marriage, abortion, several other issues that most evangelical Christians would now discount that seminary. And this has happened time and time again. In the 70s, there was a thing called the Humanist Manifesto, and they declared that we're going to go after law, we're going to go after education, and we're going to go after seminaries, and we'll liberalize society. And that has happened. So there are good seminaries. What it really turns out to be is Bible institutes turn into Bible colleges, turn into seminaries, and there's a sweet spot in there where it does really well. And then they kind of go the other over the hill, and then it doesn't work so well. And so as I look at this whole issue, I think that we've got to go to the Word, and it's got to be the Word. I was in a situation not too long ago. I had been in China. And I had been with a group that represented over 3,000 house churches. And there were under 100 people in the room. But in China, you're not allowed to have more than 25 without a permit. So it was an illegal gathering. And the more traditional house churches, and by that I mean these churches that were started during the persecution of the 50s and 60s, but they've been around long enough to have tradition, had a hard time with me talking about things that we all think we learned from the Chinese house churches because it was too radical for them. But they were all freaked out. This one woman pastor was coming, and she's bringing a large number of her people. It was almost 20% of the people that came to the group out of one small church. Church of about 125 people. She's a biogeneticist. Her husband's pretty wealthy. The church has grown large enough that she chose to quit her job. And they're all worried about her because she's too radical. And she's all freaked out because a guy in her church who's a mathematician, who is an atheist, had a vision of Jesus and got born again and started telling everybody about it. And some guy got to him and told him, you're not seminary trained. You have no right to teach this stuff. Unless you've read the Bible cover to cover seven times, you can't talk about Jesus. So he did it. He read the Bible seven times. Well, you know, you can't make disciples at that rate. That just slows everything down. So she's all freaked out. So we start talking about, you know, what if because they use the purple book that comes out of the Philippines, and he went through that. But he took the, he was, it's like a 9-week course. He did the whole thing in 7 days. And then went through the process of discipling him with somebody else. And I go, what would this be too radical? What if he finishes the purple book, and then while he's doing the second book, he's teaching the purple book to somebody else? And they kind of brightened up at that. And then I go, well, I lied. That's not what I'd really do. What I'd really do is if he finished lesson one, I'd have him teaching lesson one while he's taking lesson two. And they got lit up. And the people in the back of the room, the people from the more traditional groups, that turned them off at that time. So we go to lunch the next day. She brings 13 people who are all making like $200,000 a year, in excess of. We're in the Park Avenue of this major city in China. And she says these people either walk from work or walk from home. It's all in big bucks. 13 people made a commitment to go start a pocket church. And they're going to keep their high-profile, high-paying job. That's exciting. Mm-hmm. So I told that story at an event, and one guy got really mad at me. And he starts going off about the church fathers and about women in ministry. And I wasn't promoting women in ministry. I just told the story. And so he's all upset, and he starts quoting Irenaeus and all these church fathers, and I've never paid much attention to that. So I started reading these guys. And he said, when I first got saved, I didn't want to hear it from some preacher. I wanted the original source. So I went to the church fathers, and this is what they say. So I started looking up the church fathers, and I found out that Irenaeus said that what they called the church fathers wasn't the first 300 years of Christianity. It's the guys who that guy knew John, that guy knew Paul, that guy knew James. They're what they call the church fathers. And Irenaeus says you have to accept the words of the church fathers as equal to the words of Scripture. And you need to bow before the bishop as though he is the Lord. And this guy is buying this thing lock, stock, and barrel and quoting this stuff for why this lady in China shouldn't be pastoring this church of people who wouldn't otherwise know Jesus. And I'm freaking out. And it's like, you went to seminary and they taught you to ignore Scripture and take the words of man. Now, that doesn't disqualify all the seminaries. I'm not against seminaries. But what it does do is reinforce the argument on the other side that if we have the Word and the Spirit, that ought to be adequate for us to build on.
Also, I believe the statistics show that about 85% of our seminaries in this country compromise the Word of God.
I think it's actually higher than that.
Even higher than, yeah. And it might be because that was from several years ago.
Yeah.
And that's a real danger.
New to Five, starting a level five multiplying church, written by Ralph Moore and Jeff Christofferson. You talk about monomaniacs.
Yeah.
What is a monomaniac? Why does it take a person like that on a mission to change the world?
Well, the word monomania, if you look up the definition, actually is a form of insanity. That's the secular definition of the word. Peter Drucker made the word famous in one of his books. Peter Drucker was the guru of American management, one of the people who taught total quality control to the Japanese. That's why we all drive Toyotas today. But Drucker said that whenever anything in the world is actually being done, you'll usually find that it's being started or being done by a monomaniac with a mission. And I would rephrase that to monomaniac on a mission. And I confess to being one. You got to focus. You know, I remember when I was young and I used to feel, I think a lot of young people go through this, the weight. I feel called to ministry, feel the weight of reaching the whole world for Jesus. And one day I realized, no, I'm only called to reach my little corner of the world. I just need to do it really well. And so I focused on making disciples who would make disciples. And now we are reaching the whole world. And so it's, you mentioned that earlier, it's kind of a backwards thing. When you focus on one thing, it ends up changing things. So to me, that's a monomaniac. And I've been a monomaniac about making disciples and planting churches. Could I explain New to Five just a bit? Jeff Christofferson actually oversees church planting for the Southern Baptists. And he got started, his first church plant, he used some tapes I made about how to start a church as an aid when he first started church. So the day we met, we're like instant friends. And Southern Baptists have picked up on this book, but the Exponential preaches this thing, there's five levels of churches. Level one is struggling, can't afford to pay the pastor, can't afford to pay the rent. Level two, you're comfortable and maybe complacent. You're just kind of cruising. Level three is addition for addition's sake. We see a lot of that. Level four is where you reproduce the church. It's hard for a level three church to reproduce because when you build the monster, you got to feed it. You got to conserve money. You got to keep your best leaders, whatever. Level two to four isn't a hard jump. That's what we did. We went from comfortable to planting, reproducing, planting churches. Level five is where when we came to Hawaii, we stood on the beach and said, we're going to reach 1% of the population in 10 years, and we can't do it by ourselves. Some of you have to become pastors who raise up other pastors. Now we're a multiplying church. Now we're at level five. And so new to five is what we did on that beach that first day in Kailua. We announced that we're a level five church on day one, and then we live up to it.
Announcing and living up to it is certainly something that you have done and continue to do. You've been a blessing to so many, and I know will continue to do so, and that's why it's been such a privilege, Pastor Ralph, Pastor Ruby, to have you with us today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My friend, I hope you've been encouraged today. I certainly have, by the insights from Pastors Ralph and Ruby Moore. Again, find out more at ralphmoore.net. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with financial support to make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Pastors Ralph and Ruby Moore. Again, find out more at ralphmoore.net. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.